This morning, I want to talk about packing. Well, not really, but that's an illustration that we can use. When we were getting ready to come over here, Brittany was packing all the bags. She's the organizer in the family. But anybody who's had to pack understands that when you pack your bags, you don't take all the small things and put them in first, and then try to figure out how to get the big things in. You start with the big things. And when she was packing, it made me think about the weightier matters of the law. There is such a thing as weightier matters of the law. There are some things that are more important in a way than other things which God has given. If you look in Micah chapter 6, we find this even in the Old Testament. In Micah 6, God had already been teaching them that there were certain things that to him were more important in a way. Micah chapter 6 and verse 6, Micah chapter 6 verse 6 says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Now, when he says this, he's not saying that God didn't want them to be sacrificing at all or to be doing these things of worship, but he is saying that that is not what he's really after. That is not the most important thing that he's looking for. He's looking for their hearts to be right. He's looking for them to love justice and mercy and to walk humbly with God. Too often, religious people, including us, can get to where we're focused on the actions. We're focused on the details of how we're supposed to do different things. And that's not wrong to be thinking about those. Those things are important. But if we're focused on the details too much, we can miss the more important things. We can put in the small things in the bag and not have room for the bigger things that we need to take along. You can think about the Lord's Supper. Is the Lord's Supper important? It's very important, incredibly important. 1 Corinthians 11 makes it clear that it's very important. And we understand we're to take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. We see that's what the disciples did, and there's a good reason for it. We need that. But if we're so focused on, well, we get that right, we get the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, that's the important thing, and we miss honoring God in our daily life with our choices of entertainment, with our the way that we spend time with our friends. What is it that we're doing in our daily walk? Are we walking humbly with God day by day? Then the Lord's Supper is not going to make any difference to us. You understand? We need to get the weightier matters first. Then the details can fit in. In Matthew 22, Jesus was asked a question. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?'" Now, if somebody asked me that, I think I would be tempted to say, they're all equal. If it's from God, it's just as important as everything else. But that's not what Jesus answered. He says in verse 37, he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." He explains here why these are more important. It's not that, as some people unfortunately take it, that as long as I feel like I love God and my neighbor, it doesn't matter what I do. No, he says, what matters is if you get that right, then you'll get everything else right. All the other laws hang on these two. Because if you love God, what are you going to do? You're going to do all the details that he wants, isn't it? I mean, can you say you love your wife if you tell her you love her, but you don't care at all what makes her happy? She tells you, you know, "I need you to take out the trash." "Oh, I love you, but you know, that's just a detail. I don't need to do that," right? Well, that's not love, is it? We need to focus on the big things, and then everything else comes into place. The weightier matters of the law do not mean that the details are unimportant or that we don't need to do them. The weightier matters of the law are there to motivate us to do everything else. When we love God properly and we love our neighbor properly, that is going to motivate us to do what God tells us in everything. In our worship to him and how we treat our family and how we treat the strangers on the street, in everything, we're going to be motivated to do that properly because we got the big things right first. But if we're trying to get the small things first, we say, "Well, I'm going to try to treat my family better," but we don't actually have the proper love for them. Is it going to work? It's not going to work. You can say, well, God says I mustn't stay angry. Okay. So I'm going to work really hard on that, but you don't have proper love, you're going to fail. But if we get the weightier matters first, then the details are going to fit in. In Matthew chapter 23, in verse 23, Matthew 23, verse 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." That sounds an awful lot like Micah, doesn't it? Justice and mercy and faithfulness, walking humbly with your God. He says this is what you have to get first. Does he say the tithing was not important? No. He says you should have done them, but you shouldn't have neglected those. But you have to do the big things first, the weightier matters first. Here at the beginning of the year, a lot of people think about priorities and making some commitments to themselves and you know, changes that they need to make in their life. You know, it may be that you want to get healthier, you want to read your Bible more, you want to do whatever it is that you think is going to be good for you and for others around you. But focus on the big things first. Make sure when you're getting your priorities in order, you're not focused on the small things, but you all the smaller things are built on top of the weightier matters. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. If you understand those things properly, then it's going to motivate you. It's going to drive your thinking to where the decisions that you make, everything else is going to fall into place into what God really wants you to be doing. There's a saying that is attributed to Mark Twain. I Don't know if it really was him, but you'll hear this a lot from productivity coaches and things like that. But it's about frogs and eating frogs. You've probably, some of you have heard this, I'm sure. But he said, eat a live frog first thing in the morning and nothing worse will happen to you the rest of the day. But he also apparently said, if it's your job to eat a frog, it's best to do it first thing in the morning. And if it's your job to eat two frogs, it's best to eat the biggest one first. And that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, eating frogs doesn't necessarily make sense, but the point of doing the worst thing, the hardest thing, the biggest thing first makes sense. But that's what we don't want to do. We want to put that off. I know when I was growing up, I was homeschooled, so I got a little bit of flexibility in the order I did my work. And math was not my favorite subject. I wasn't awful at it, but it just wasn't something I enjoyed that much because I'm slow at it. So I would put it off until the last. Well, you know what happens when you put it off to the last. Then when you get there, it's really hard to do. Well, if you do it first, then you have all the enjoyable things later. And that's true also of changing our hearts, isn't it? That's hard to do. It's easier to focus on, let me try this technique or that thing, and let me try telling people I love them more. Let me try this and that. But to actually change your heart is a whole lot harder. But in fact, that is what we need to do first. That's the thing that's going to help everything else be much easier. And we can get it right if we get our hearts right. And that's why this is the weightier matters of the law. We have to work on these things. Get the big things in first, and then you can get the smaller things in. You can do the weightier things without neglecting the others. If you keep reading here in Matthew 23, in verse 24, he says, "You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean." Now, that's not always how I wash dishes, but that makes sense when you're talking about the heart. That's what he's saying is, if you just focus on the outward things, getting the things right in, you know, as far as other people see it, or even what you know God wants, just, I want to do the right thing, but you don't get your heart there. You don't have the right love for God. You don't have the right love for your neighbor. You're not going to really get the outward things right either. Because if you're dirty on the inside, it's going to come out. It may not come out publicly, but when you're alone, if your heart isn't right, what happens? What kind of things do you watch? What kind of things do you say? What kind of things do you think? Is it pleasing to God? We have to get our hearts right. And yes, there may be some things we can do that will help us with that, with changing our hearts. It may be that we need to talk to our brethren more. We need encouragement. We need to really be open about how we think with each other and really work on that together. But the motive behind it isn't just, well, let me do this because that seems like the right thing to do. Our motive is, I want my heart to be right. And when that's your motive, you're going to get there. We can clean our hearts. The Lord will help us with that when we're truly striving to do that. He says you can do that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes to Timothy about his own problems, as everybody has, even great men like Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, he says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Now, he says, flee youthful passions. And, you know, we can think of a lot of things that may involve sexual purity or impurity in this case would be one of those things. But he doesn't say flee sexual immorality and pursue sexual purity, does he? He doesn't say flee pride and pursue humility, although that would be closer to what he says. But he says flee these youthful lusts, these youthful passions, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Well, why? Why those things? Because if you're pursuing those things, everything else is going to come. You will be sexually pure. You will be humble. You will do all of these things that you're supposed to be doing if you're pursuing the right things. Get your motives right. Get the big things right. Then everything else will fall into place. If you have a problem with sexual purity, maybe you have a problem with pornography, as a huge amount of people do, even among the Lord's people. How do you deal with that? Well, if you say, well, I'm going to try to stop, well, that's good, but are you going to do it? What if your heart isn't there? What if you're not motivated by your love for God and your love for your neighbor? You're not going to stop, are you? It's going to be very, very difficult. But if you get your heart right, where you love God, you love what He has made you to be, you love your neighbor, you don't want to lust after your neighbor's wife or daughter or whoever, you love them, then it's much easier to stop. That doesn't mean it's easy, but you can do it. And you can talk to your brethren about your problems, and you can get help. Because you want that, because it's your heart is right. You're not worried about being humiliated. You're worried about, I want to please God. Get your heart right, and then everything else will fall into place. What about reading your Bible? I failed this past year to read the Bible all the way through. That's the first time in a number of years, and I can give you excuses, but really I feel bad about it. And it's not because I think it's a duty to read our Bible all the way through every year. It's because I've done it enough, I know the benefit that comes from it. I know we get a lot of good when we read the whole Word of God, and it's refreshed in our mind. And when we don't do that, we miss that benefit. Yeah, I'm going to make sure this year I'm going to do it because I want that. I want that benefit. I want to know God even better. If we're only focused on, well, you know, I want to read the Bible because people say that's a good thing to do, we're not going to do it. We're not going to make it. And even if we do, what good will it do us? But if we're motivated by our love for God and our love for our neighbor, we're learning about God, who He is, who He wants us to be, but He's also teaching us how to treat one another, how to properly love each other. If we're motivated by that, we can do it, can't we? We can read through, and we can get the good out of it, and it's not just a chore to read through these things. In Proverbs chapter 12, in verse 11, he says, "Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense." Well, what is the point there? You can be busy. A lot of people are busy, but are you busy with worthwhile things, with things that will bring benefit? Or are you busy with worthless pursuits? America, as was mentioned earlier, is one of the perhaps the richest nation that has ever been. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's certainly extremely wealthy. And in wealth, there's a lot of relaxation, I suppose. There is a lot of entertainment. Now, it's not only here, it's everywhere. Entertainment has become so easy to access with the internet, with Netflix, things like that, that it almost feels to some people, it seems like it's a responsibility to keep up with all the entertainment in the world. I mean, you haven't seen the latest Star Wars or whatever it is that people are watching. Not suggesting you should go see that, by the way. I haven't seen it. But I'm just saying that people have that idea that you have to keep up with it. But that's a worthless pursuit, isn't it? I'm not saying all entertainment is worthless. There's benefit to entertainment if it's kept in its right place and it's the right type of entertainment. But how much time and thought process do you spend on that versus on holiness, on thinking about what you can do to motivate your brethren, on thinking about just the what God has done for you, thankfulness? When young people get together, what do you talk about? We're old people, for that matter. What is it that you're talking about? Is it the football game? I'm not saying it's wrong to talk about those things. But think about how much time you spend speaking about entertainment versus the things that are actually worthwhile. Are we really focused on the things that matter? We can be very busy, but are we busy with worthwhile things? That's the question. We read a verse this morning, a long passage. This is part of it, Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Talking about the things that are necessary for life, food and clothing. First, seek the kingdom. That's more important. Well, doesn't God want us to work hard and provide for our families? Yes, he does. But we're going to do that if we're seeking first the kingdom. But if our focus is on our job, we're not going to get it right, are we? We're not going to get everything else that God wants us to do. Seek first the kingdom. Then everything else falls into place. One other passage I want us to look at is in John 14. This is a familiar passage, I believe. John 14 and verse 15. Very short and to the point. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." The point I want to get from this morning is, he does not say, "Keep my commandments so that you will love me." I'm afraid sometimes we get that the wrong way around. We think if we do these things, that will show we love Jesus. But that's not actually what he says, is it? He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you get that right first, then everything else will fall into place. Love him, focus on that, and then if he tells you to do something, it doesn't matter how hard it is, you're going to do it, aren't you? Because you love him. But if you're trying to love him not from the heart, but just by actions, it's not going to work. We have to get our hearts right. And so this morning, as we begin a new year, as we think about the changes that we're going to make in our lives, make sure our hearts are right. Let's pack our bags for heaven and put the big things in first. then all the other things will fit in. One of the things the Lord has commanded us to do, to walk humbly with Him, means that we have to be able to be with Him, which means we have to be holy, we have to be forgiven of our sins. If you are in sin, if you have not obeyed the gospel, if you've not been baptized into His death, haven't repented of your sins, if you are not walking with Him, we need to start. Make sure your heart is right. It has to be done by faith in the working of God, Colossians 2 tells us. But if you are, your heart is right and you're ready to make that commitment, today is the day. Don't wait.